All right, get ready, because today we're diving deep into the geography of the Middle East. And I'm talking way more than just looking at a map.
Oh yeah, we're going way beyond that. Think of it more like, a stage where all these incredible forces, geology, history, even faith, have all played out their dramas.
I like that, a stage. And to guide us on this deep dive, well, we're turning to Dr. Elaine Phillips and her lectures on Introduction to Biblical Studies. Specifically, we're looking at session three, which focuses on the geography of the region. I gotta say, after listening to this, you will never look at a map of the Middle East the same way again.
Absolutely. And, it's fascinating how much we just kind of take for granted when we look at a map. I mean, mountains, valleys, rivers, it's all there, but it's easy to forget that it's all the result of massive geological processes that took place over millions of years. Dr. Phillips really brings all of that to life.
Okay, so I'm picturing like a time-lapse video, continents smashing together, mountains rising up, and then bam, right in the middle of it all, this region emerges, this land between, as Dr. Phillips calls it.
Exactly. A bridge between continents. A crossroads for trade, a battleground for empires, a true melting pot of cultures, and a testing ground of faith. All because of where it is, geographically.
That testing ground of faith idea, that's really interesting. It's like the region's climate and geography were themselves part of the challenge, almost forcing people to really think about their place in the world and their relationship with something bigger than themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Scarce water, harsh deserts, unpredictable weather. Those aren't just, facts in a textbook. Those were the realities that the people living there faced every single day. Makes you realize how deeply connected their lives were to the land and its rhythms.
And speaking of rhythms, Dr. Phillips talks about the importance of, well, grain, new wine, and oil, not just as crops, but always in that exact order. Why is that?
Because that's the order they were harvested in. Seems like a small detail, but it reveals a whole other layer of understanding about the agricultural cycle there, how people live their lives totally in sync with the seasons.
I'm starting to see how even the tiniest details in these lectures are pointing to this much bigger picture of interconnectedness.
Exactly. And to really understand those connections, we need to dig deeper. We need to go back millions of years to those geological forces that shaped this region.
All right, I'm game for a little time travel. Hit me with the geological backstory.
So picture this. Massive continental plates, think of them like puzzle pieces, but they're constantly shifting, grinding against each other. The African, Mediterranean, and Arabian plates, to be specific, that collision, that's what created the dramatic landscape of the Middle East.
So all the mountains, valleys that we see today, those are basically battle scars from this massive continental showdown.
Exactly. And one of the most dramatic features is the Great Rift Valley. I mean, it stretches for thousands of miles from Africa all the way up to Syria. What we see in the Middle East, the Jordan River, Dead Sea, is just a small part of this massive crack in the Earth's crust.
Wow, the Dead Sea being a part of that massive rift system. What does that mean for the people living there?
Well, it shaped everything. Water availability, trade routes, settlement patterns, you name it. And think about this. The Dead Sea is over 1,300 feet below sea level, with something like 20,000 feet of sediment beneath its waters. That's how massive this rift is.
It's amazing how these geological forces acting over millions of years have not just shaped the landscape, but really the course of human history.
Absolutely. And then, to add another layer to it all, imagine this whole area covered by a massive body of water, the Tethys Sea. And over millions of years, it deposited layers of sediment, which over time hardened into rock. That's why we see such a variety of rock types in the region, and each one tells a different part of the story.
Okay, colliding continents, massive rift valley, ancient sea laying down the foundation. What kind of rocks specifically are we talking about here?
Dr. Phillips breaks it down into three main types: igneous base, sedimentary deposits, and volcanic basalt overlay, like a layer cake of geological history.
So each layer had a specific impact on the people who lived there.
Oh, absolutely. The igneous base, the foundation, made of tough rocks like granite. Then, the sedimentary layers on top, mostly formed by that ancient sea we talked about. And finally, in some areas, you've got a volcanic basalt overlay, kind of a reminder of those ancient eruptions.
It's wild to think that something as simple as the type of rock beneath your feet could really have such a huge impact on your way of life.
Absolutely. Dr. Phillips talks about the importance of hard limestone, especially for those living in, what's considered the promised land. It wasn't just about rocks, it was about survival.
Okay, hard limestone. Why was it so crucial? What did it offer that other rocks didn't?
Okay, imagine you're living in this ancient world and you find hard limestone, It's like hitting the jackpot. First off, springs, vital in a region where water is scarce. Second, as it weathers, it creates this rich, fertile soil, terra rosa, perfect for agriculture. Third, naturally breaks down into these carices, makes farming even more efficient. And last but not least, its hilly natural defenses against invaders.
So it's like hard limestone offered the perfect combo of resources and protection.
Exactly. And this is where that link between, you know, geology and human history really becomes clear. The distribution of hard limestone, along with these other rock types like chalk and softer limestone, it shaped the landscape and influenced where people settled, how they farmed, even how they defended themselves.
So we can literally see the impact of geology on the map, on ancient settlements, trade routes, all of that.
Absolutely. And as we start to visualize those specific regions, it gets even more fascinating. We'll see how those formations translate into the actual places, you know, the ones we read about in history.
All right, I'm ready to see how this geological map comes to life. Let's explore those regions and see how those rocks shaped the destiny of the people who live there.
Let's start with the coastal plains. Think fertile lands, but also, and this might surprise you, swamps.
Swamps on the coast. That doesn't sound very appealing.
Well, back then, the coastal plains were a lot swampier than they are today. This was due to curcar, a type of sandstone found along the coast. It naturally cements together, good for building, but, well, it also traps water, creating those swampy areas.
So fertile soil and a bit of a water hazard. Did people still settle there despite the swamps?
Oh, absolutely. Even with the swamps, major cities were built on those coastal plains. Think of the Philistines. They thrived in this region.
It's fascinating to think about those ancient cities built right there on the edge of those swampy plains. They must have been pretty resourceful to overcome those environmental challenges.
Resourcefulness, key to survival in this region. And as we move inland, we come across another intriguing area. The Shephela.
Shephela. That sounds familiar. Isn't that a Hebrew word?
It is. It means lowlands. It's this transition zone between those coastal plains and the central mountains. Think rolling hills, lots of strategic importance. And oh yeah, the setting for the epic battle between David and Goliath.
Okay, now that you mention it, I can totally picture those rolling hills. But how did this region, the Shephela, fit into the bigger picture? Was it just a backdrop for, you know, biblical stories?
No way. It was like a crucial buffer zone, a constant tug of war between the coastal powers and those controlling the central highlands. Strategically important, a real battleground throughout history.
So controlling the Shephela, that gave you a real advantage, like holding the keys to the kingdom.
Precisely. Gateway to the interior, controlling trade, resources, armies, the whole nine yards. Whoever held the Shephela, they had their finger on the pulse of the region.
Wow, talk about a strategic location, like holding the high ground, geopolitically speaking.
And speaking of high ground, let's move on to the hill country, the spine of the region. This is where that hard limestone we talked about really comes into play.
Okay, I'm picturing rugged terrain, steep valleys, lots of those natural defenses.
You got it. Running north to south, steep valleys, fertile terra rosa soil, tons of those springs we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
A land made for resilience and self-reliance.
It almost sounds idyllic. Fertile land, fresh water, natural defenses. No wonder people were drawn to this region.
It was definitely a desirable location, but not without its challenges. Remember those steep valleys? Well, travel and communication were tough. Isolated communities fostered this fierce sense of independence, sometimes a little too much independence, you could say.
Ah, so a double-edged sword, protection and isolation all rolled into one.
Exactly. And to grasp how dramatic this landscape really is, we got to talk elevation. Dr. Phillips highlights this incredible drop from Jerusalem, which sits at about 2,500 feet above sea level, down to the Dead Sea, get this, 1,300 feet below sea level.
Wait, so you're telling me there's a difference of almost 4,000 feet between those two locations? That's insane. It's like going from the top of a skyscraper down to the bottom of a canyon.
It is a breathtaking change in elevation. It really highlights the sheer power of those geological forces that shaped the region. Imagine standing in Jerusalem, looking out over this stark landscape, then descending into the depths of the Dead Sea, a place unlike anywhere else on Earth. Talk about contrast.
Mind-blowing how these geographical features, shaped by, what, millions of years of geological activity, have had such a huge impact on the history and culture of this region. Maps are just the beginning.
Absolutely. And we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to uncover as we delve into these specific regions and explore how people adapted to this land of extremes.
Well, I'm ready for more. Lead the way.
All right, let's journey across the Jordan River now and check out Transjordan, a land of contrasts and some unexpected beauty.
Transjordan, it's like a whole other world waiting to be discovered. What makes it so special?
Well, Transjordan, it means cross the Jordan, literally. Often overlooked, but trust me, it has some of the most diverse landscapes in the whole Middle East. Fertile plateaus in the north, great for agriculture, but then as you move south, it gets more and more arid, merging with the vast Arabian Desert.
Sounds like a land of extremes, just like the rest of the Middle East. Seems to be a recurring theme.
It is. And this diversity, it played a huge role in shaping the cultures that lived in Transjordan. It wasn't, you know, a one-size-fits-all kind of place.
So what kind of cultures thrived there? Was it mostly, like, nomadic tribes, or were there settled communities, too?
Transjordan was a mix of both. Nomadic tribes, they knew how to navigate the desert like nobody's business. Mm. And then you had these settled communities who built some pretty impressive cities, figured out how to manage water in that challenging environment.
Water management systems. Now, that's something I want to hear more about. Water is like liquid gold in this region, right?
You got it. And in Transjordan, water scarcity is a constant. People had to get creative just to survive.
Okay, so what kind of innovations are we talking about? Did they build, like, aqueducts like the Romans?
Well, aqueducts were part of it, especially later during the Roman period. But even before that, people in Transjordan were masters of water management. Think cisterns carved into rock, channels that diverted rainwater, even systems that used the power of flash floods to irrigate fields.
Wow, that's some serious ingenuity. It's like they say, necessity is the mother of invention. It really makes you appreciate the resourcefulness of those people.
Absolutely. And these innovations weren't just about survival. They shaped the social and political landscape, too. Control over water, that meant power.
Yeah, makes sense. Control the water, control the community. I can see how that would lead to both cooperation and conflict.
You got it. Water was, and still is, a source of both. Communities had to work together, but also defend their water rights. You know, it's a story of resilience, innovation, and that constant struggle for survival in a really challenging environment.
And don't forget the strategic importance. I mean, Transjordan sits right there, east of the Jordan River, a buffer zone between the more settled lands to the west and the vast expanse of the Arabian Desert to the east. It's like a bridge between two worlds.
Exactly. And that strategic location meant Transjordan was often caught in the crossfire of, well, empires and all sorts of competing interests.
Sounds like a place where history unfolded at a rapid pace. It really makes you realize that geography isn't just about maps and mountains. It's about understanding the connections between the land and the people.
You got it. And as we keep going on this deep dive, you'll see those connections play out in even more fascinating ways. Ready to explore another region.
Absolutely. The more we uncover, the more I realize how much there is to learn about this part of the world.
All right, let's shift our focus south. To a land that might seem barren at first glance, but holds hidden treasures. The Negev Desert.
The Negev. That's a name that evokes, well, vast emptiness, scorching heat. I'm picturing endless sand dunes and a sun that never quits.
That's part of it for sure. But the Negev is much more than just an empty wasteland. It's a land of stark beauty, resilience, and, yeah, unexpected life. There's a whole world beneath the surface just waiting to be discovered.
Okay, you've got my attention. What kind of life are we talking about? Camels and cacti?
Well, those are definitely part of the ecosystem. But think, ancient civilizations. They thrived in this challenging environment, developing ways to harness scarce water, adapt to the harsh conditions.
Ancient civilizations in the desert. It's amazing to think about people building lives in a place that seems so inhospitable. Why settle there?
The Negev, despite its challenges, also presented opportunities. It was a crossroads for trade routes, connecting the Arabian Peninsula with the Mediterranean world. Those who learned to adapt, they found ways to thrive. Think of the Nabataeans. They carved their cities into the sandstone cliffs. They created these elaborate systems to collect and distribute rainwater.
The Nabataeans, weren't they the ones who built Petra, that incredible city carved into the rock? It's like something out of a movie.
Exactly. Petra's a prime example of Nabataean ingenuity. They built stunning structures, but they also mastered water management. Channels and cisterns allowed them to flourish in a region where rain is, well, let's just say, unpredictable.
Sounds like they were masters of turning adversity into an advantage. Instead of fighting the desert, they found ways to work with it.
Absolutely. They understood that to survive in the Negev, you had to work with the land, not against it. They learned to read those subtle signs of the desert, predict flash floods, harness the power of nature.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most challenging environments can inspire the most creative solutions.
You got it. And those solutions, they weren't just about survival. They laid the foundation for trade, cultural exchange, the whole nine yards. The Negev wasn't as isolated as you might think.
So it wasn't just a barren wasteland. There was this whole network of trade routes and cultural connections crisscrossing the desert.
Precisely. The Nemedians, they established a vast trading network connecting the Arabian Peninsula with the Mediterranean world. Spices, incense, all sorts of valuable goods transported along ancient caravan routes through the Negev.
It's like a hidden highway running through the desert. Makes you realize that even in the most desolate places, human ingenuity and that drive to connect with others can create thriving civilizations. It's really a testament to the human spirit.
It is. And that's the beauty of the Negev. Challenges our ideas of what life can be like. Reminds us that even in the most extreme environments, there's always a story waiting to be told. And speaking of stories, let's talk about wadis.
Wadis. Those are just those dry riverbeds that you see snaking through the desert, Rice. I'm picturing dusty ditches, not exactly the most exciting topic.
They might look like that most of the time, but wadis are anything but simple ditches. They're dynamic, transforming from dry channels into raging torrents during those rare but intense rainstorms.
Oh, wow. So they're like sleeping giants just waiting to be awakened. I can imagine how dangerous a flash flood in a wadi could be.
You're telling me. Flash floods could be devastating, wiping out everything in their path. But they also brought life to the desert, replenishing groundwater, triggering this burst of vegetation.
So it's another example of the Negev's duality. Danger and opportunity all rolled into one. Must have been a constant challenge to navigate that balance.
You got it. And those who learn to do just that, respect the power of nature while also harnessing its potential, they thrived in this remarkable region.
It's a valuable lesson, I think, for anyone facing challenges, you know, whether it's in a literal desert or in life in general. Sometimes the greatest obstacles can lead to the greatest opportunities. It's all about how you look at it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And speaking of opportunities, let's shift our focus back north to a region that played a key role in shaping the history of the Middle East, Galilee.
Galilee. Now, there's a name I recognize. Wasn't that the region where, well, Jesus spent a lot of his time? It's always depicted as this lush, fertile land in the stories.
You got it. Galilee's a land steeped in history, both ancient and biblical. Fertile hills, sparkling lakes, a fascinating mix of cultures. It's like stepping into a different world compared to the desert landscapes we've been talking about.
Okay, I'm already picturing lush landscapes, vibrant communities. Sounds like a welcome change of pace.
It is. Galilee is often described as like the breadbasket of ancient Israel, blessed with fertile soil and abundant water. It was a land of plenty, attracted people from all sorts of backgrounds, created this rich mix of cultures and beliefs.
I can just imagine those bustling marketplaces, the exchange of ideas that must have taken place there. It sounds like a real cultural hub.
It was. And all that cultural vibrancy, it made Galilee a melting pot of innovation and creativity. Not just agriculture, but new ideas, new ways of thinking.
I'm sensing a theme here. Every region we've talked about has this story of resilience and resourcefulness. People found ways to thrive, whether it was lack of water, extreme heat, or even political turmoil.
It's true. It's the beauty of the Middle East, a land where people have constantly adapted, innovated to overcome those challenges and build these thriving communities. It's a real testament to human ingenuity and determination.
So what made Galilee so special? Was it just the fertile soil and the abundance of water?
Well, those were definitely major factors. Galilee has a lot of water resources, thanks to the Sea of Galilee, also known as Lake Tiberias. And then there were all those springs scattered across the landscape. That abundance of water made it a paradise compared to other regions.
The Sea of Galilee, another name I recognize. Isn't that where, you know, the stories say that Jesus calmed the storm and walked on water? It's amazing to think about how this one body of water shaped so much of life in Galilee.
Exactly. The Sea of Galilee played a vital role in the lives of the people in ancient Galilee. It was a source of fish, transportation, and, yes, spiritual significance. It was the heart of the region.
It's amazing, just amazing how this one body of water was so central to life there. Sustenance, transportation, spiritual inspiration. It's like the Sea of Galilee was like the lifeblood of the region.
You got it. And don't forget about its strategic importance. Located right between the Mediterranean coast and the Jordan River, it made it a crossroads for trade and a prime target for, well, empires.
Ah, so a land of opportunity and a land of conflict. It seems like that duality is just a recurring theme when we talk about the Middle East.
It is. Galilee's prosperity and its location meant that it was often right in the middle of competing interests. But it also meant it was a place where cultures mixed and new ideas were born. It was dynamic, constantly evolving.
It just goes to show that sometimes the most dynamic, innovative places are also the ones that face the greatest challenges.
Absolutely. And Galilee's story is truly a testament to the human spirit, the ability to adapt, to innovate, to create beauty, even when facing really tough times.
Well, I'm inspired to dig deeper and learn more about the stories and the people that made Galilee such a unique place. Sounds like there's a lot to unpack.
Oh, there is. From the ancient Israelites who first settled in the region to the Romans who built those impressive cities, Galilee's past is full of intrigue.
Lead the way. I'm ready to dive into the heart of this captivating region and discover the stories that shaped it.
Let's zero in on a specific area within Galilee that holds a lot of significance. The Golan Heights. The Golan Heights. That name, well, it's always in the news, usually associated with, well, conflict and tension. It's got a reputation for being volatile and contested.
It's true. The Golan Heights has a complex and, yeah, often turbulent history. But beyond those headlines, it's breathtakingly beautiful, strategically important, and has a fascinating geological story. It's a place where nature, history, and politics all kind of, well, slam into each other.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes the Golan Heights so unique? Is it just the location, or is there something more to it?
Oh, there's definitely more to it than meets the eye. First of all, it's a volcanic plateau. It rises up dramatically above the surrounding landscape. Think extinct volcanoes, fertile soil, and these panoramic views that just go on forever. It's like stepping onto a different planet.
Volcanic. So, a completely different kind of geology than the limestone hills we've been talking about. That's quite a contrast.
It is. Remember that volcanic basalt overlay we mentioned? Well, that's what dominates the Golan Heights. Ancient volcanic eruptions spread layers of basalt lava, created this unique topography. So instead of rolling hills and valleys, we're talking about something more elevated, flatter, like the Golan Heights just stands apart.
Exactly. And that elevated, flatter landscape, well, it's had a big impact throughout history, like a natural fortress overlooking all the surrounding valleys and plains.
I can see how controlling that high ground would be a huge advantage. It's like having a bird's eye view of the whole region.
You got it. The Golan Heights has this commanding view, making it a coveted asset. Control the Golan Heights, and you can observe, even control, movement in the surrounding areas.
Wow, it's like a natural watchtower. No wonder it's been so fiercely contested throughout history.
You got it. From ancient kingdoms to modern nations, the strategic value of the Golan Heights has been recognized and fought over for centuries. The stakes are high.
So beauty, strategic importance, and a long history of conflict. Sounds like the Golan Heights is like a mini version of the Middle East itself.
That's a great way to put it. It really does embody a lot of the themes we've been talking about. Geography, resources, human ambition.
It's a reminder that understanding the land, its features, its resources, is key to understanding the history, the ongoing dynamics of this whole region.
Absolutely. And as we continue, we'll see those dynamics play out in even more fascinating and sometimes unexpected ways.
I'm ready for more. What else can you tell me about the Golan Heights? What secrets does it hold?
Let's talk about water. A resource that's both plentiful and contested in the Golan Heights. It's a story of paradoxes and conflicts.
I'm guessing that even with its volcanic origins, water is still a precious commodity in the Golan Heights. Seems like a constant in the Middle East.
You're absolutely right. Even though there are tons of springs and streams, water management has always been crucial in the Golan Heights. It's not just about having it, it's about controlling it, distributing it strategically.
So it's another example of how geography really shapes politics and power dynamics.
It is. And throughout history, people in the Golan Heights have found innovative ways to, you know, harness and distribute water resources. They've had to be creative to survive and thrive in this environment.
So we're talking about those aqueducts and cisterns again? Or did they come up with other methods for managing water on this unique landscape?
Those were definitely part of it. But in the Golan Heights, there's another fascinating factor. Gravity.
Gravity. How does gravity play into water management? It's not like they could bend the laws of physics, right?
No, they didn't bend the laws of physics, but they definitely used them to their advantage. The Golan Heights, being elevated like it is, allows for this natural flow of water down to the surrounding lowlands. So by strategically channeling water from springs and streams, they could irrigate fields, supply communities, all further down the slopes.
So it's like this natural irrigation system powered by gravity. That's brilliant. It's another great example of how people in this region worked with the land to create sustainable solutions.
Exactly. understanding and controlling those natural water flows, that was key to agriculture, settlement patterns, everything in the Golan Heights. It's adaptation and innovation in the face of limited resources.
It's like a theme, right? People in the Middle East have learned to work with what the land gives them to create sustainable ways of life.
You got it. But those ways of life were often disrupted by conflict and political instability. The Golan Heights, well, it's got this long history of being caught in the middle of competing interests.
I can believe it, given how strategically important it is. It seems like it's always been a place where conflict flares up.
It has been a flashpoint throughout history. Control over its water resources, those strategic vantage points, they're often at the heart of those disputes. It's a place where the stakes are high and the consequences of conflict can be devastating.
It's a reminder that even the most beautiful, resourceful places can become battlegrounds when you mix human ambition and political rivalries, like a tug of war between cooperation and conflict.
You're right. And understanding those historical and geographical factors is essential to making sense of what's going on in this complex and captivating region. The Golan Heights, it's a microcosm of the Middle East, a place where the past and the present are always intertwined.
Well, I'm definitely eager to learn more about those challenges and opportunities. Where should we go next on our deep dive? What other hidden worlds are waiting to be explored?
Let's go back to the heartland of ancient Israel, to a region that's both familiar and full of surprises. The Judean Wilderness.
The Judean Wilderness. Now, there's a name that evokes, well, stark landscapes, rugged terrain, and a feeling of, like, real isolation. It's like stepping into a biblical epic.
You got it. The Judean Wilderness is definitely a land of extremes. Towering cliffs, deep canyons, and a silence that can be deafening. You can feel the weight of history there, the power of nature.
It sounds like a place where you could get away from it all, really connect with something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely. It's long been a place of refuge, a place where people went to find solitude, to renew their spirits, even to escape from danger. It's a place where you can face your own, well, inner demons that emerge changed.
I'm thinking of hermits and prophets, you know, seeking inspiration in that solitude. Like, the wilderness is this place where the line between the physical and spiritual world is blurred.
You're right on the mark. It has this rich spiritual history. It draws in those who are looking for a deeper connection. You can strip away all the distractions and face those essential questions of existence.
So it's a place of both physical and spiritual challenges, like a journey for the soul as much as the body.
Exactly. It tests both. Harsh conditions demand resilience, resourcefulness, and a deep respect for the power of nature.
I can only imagine what it would be like to try to survive there. You'd really have to confront your own limitations, your own strengths.
And that's exactly why the Judean Wilderness has been so transformative for so many. Facing fears, testing faith, emerging stronger. It's about finding growth in the face of adversity.
It's a powerful reminder that sometimes the most challenging experiences can also be the most rewarding. Growth through adversity.
And the Judean Wilderness is full of stories that show this truth. From the ancient Israelites who wandered for 40 years, to the early Christians who found refuge in its caves, the Judean Wilderness has seen countless journeys of faith, resilience, and transformation.
I'm ready to hear more about those journeys. What makes the Judean Wilderness so captivating? What secrets are hidden beneath that rugged landscape?
Let's talk about the caves. Those hidden sanctuaries, tucked away in the cliffs and canyons. They're more than just geological formations. They're portals to the past.
Caves. I'm picturing those cool, dark spaces, a welcome relief from that desert sun. Must have felt like a safe haven.
Oh, they were. They offered natural shelter, protection from the heat and the cold. Like natural air conditioners and heaters, all in one.
So they were like natural shelters offering a sense of security in this wild and unpredictable landscape?
Exactly. But they were more than just physical protection. They were places of refuge where people could hide from danger, store their valuables, even create communities. They were like little hidden worlds.
Like those Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Those ancient manuscripts that were hidden away for centuries. It's amazing they survived so long, protected from the elements.
You got it. The Dead Sea Scrolls, discovered in caves near Qumran, one of the most significant archaeological finds ever. They give us this incredible glimpse into the lives and beliefs of that Jewish community that lived there over 2,000 years ago.
It's amazing to think about those texts just sitting there, waiting to be rediscovered, like a time capsule, revealing secrets from the past.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls are just one example. Archaeologists have found evidence of settlements, religious practices, even artwork hidden within those caves. Each cave holds a piece of the Judean wilderness's story.
It's like each cave is a portal to a different chapter of history, showing us the lives and beliefs of those who came before us.
It is. Exploring them is like stepping back in time. It's a journey through time, all hidden within the heart of the wilderness.
Sounds like an incredible adventure. A journey through time, a journey of faith, all within this rugged landscape. Sometimes the most profound discoveries happen when we go off the beaten path, don't they?
Absolutely. And speaking of going off the beaten path, let's talk about water, or rather, the lack of it, and how it shaped life in the Judean wilderness.
Water, or the lack of it, seems to be a theme in our exploration of the Middle East, doesn't it? A constant challenge that has shaped whole civilizations.
It's true. In the Judean wilderness, water, or the lack of it, has been a defining factor throughout history. Every drop was precious. Access to reliable water sources determined where people could settle, how they survived, even sparked conflicts.
So it's a story of adaptation and resilience.
They had to be masters of water management, I mean, just to survive in that kind of environment. They learned to collect rainwater in cisterns, tap into those underground springs, and even use those rare flash floods that came through the wadis, you know, to their advantage. It was a constant dance with nature.
It's incredible, really, the ingenuity and just pure determination required to live in a place like that. It makes you realize how much we take for granted in our modern world.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. The Judean wilderness, it strips away all those conveniences and you're left with the essentials. It's a place where you have to rely on your own skills, your wits, your connection to the land to survive.
Sounds like a humbling experience, a chance to get back to the basics and appreciate the resilience of the human spirit.
That's exactly it. Those are the lessons that the Judean wilderness has to offer. Challenges our assumptions, pushes us to our limits, and in the end, reveals our true potential.
Well, I'm feeling a sense of awe, I gotta say.
Uh-huh.
And a desire to explore more of the Judean wilderness, its hidden stories, and to learn from the people who called it home.
There's a lot to explore there. From the ancient hermits who sought solitude in those caves, to the Bedouin tribes who've navigated its rugged terrain for centuries. The Judean wilderness offers a glimpse into a way of life that's, well, both timeless and deeply connected to the land.
Lead the way. I'm ready to dive deeper and discover the wisdom it holds.
Okay, let's shift our focus now to a region that has captured the imagination for millennia. Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. That name resonates, doesn't it? History, spirituality, cultural significance. It evokes so many images, so many emotions. Where do we even begin?
It's true. Jerusalem holds a special place for so many people all over the world. A city of layers where ancient history meets modern life, and where faith and culture are so intertwined.
I'm already picturing those golden domes, those ancient walls, the bustling streets, people from all walks of life. A city with a unique energy.
It is. It's a city that stimulates the senses, sparks the imagination. Every corner seems to whisper stories of the past. It's a place where history comes alive.
So where do we even begin? Jerusalem is a city that, well, it's hard to categorize, isn't it?
You're right. It is a city of complexities and contradictions. But maybe one way to approach it is to think about its location. It's played such a big role in its destiny.
Okay, let's talk geography. What makes Jerusalem's location so special? Is it the elevation, the proximity to water, something else?
Jerusalem is located in the Judean Mountains, a very strategic spot that's made it a prize for empires and conquerors throughout history. It's like a natural fortress, high above the surrounding landscape.
The high ground advantage again. We've seen that in other regions, too.
Exactly. That elevated position gives it a commanding view, making it a natural fortress and a strategic crossroads. A place to control the movement of people, goods. A place where power has been concentrated for centuries.
I can see how controlling Jerusalem would give you a lot of influence, a lot of power. It's really like holding the keys to the kingdom, isn't it?
It is. And that's exactly why Jerusalem has been fought over, conquered, and rebuilt time and time again. It's a city that has witnessed empires rise and fall, shaped by the ebb and flow of civilizations.
It's a reminder that some of the most sacred places are also the ones that bear the heaviest burdens of history, a living testament to the power of faith and the consequences of conflict.
Jerusalem's history is literally etched into its stones. From the ancient walls that surround the old city, to those countless archaeological remains, it's a testament to those civilizations that have come and gone.
Sounds like a city where the past is always present.
It is. Walking through the streets of Jerusalem, it's like walking through a time capsule. You can feel the weight of history, sense the echoes of all those stories.
I have to admit, I'm a little overwhelmed by how much history we're talking about. It's like every stone has its own story.
I get it. Jerusalem is a city that demands patience and curiosity. It's a place where you have to slow down, observe, and let the stories unfold. And it rewards those who take the time.
Well, I'm ready to embrace that challenge. What stories, what features should we focus on as we explore Jerusalem? What captures the essence of this remarkable city?
Let's start with the Old City, the heart of Jerusalem, and a place where different faiths and cultures have lived side by side for centuries. The microcosm of Jerusalem itself.
The Old City. Narrow cobblestone streets, bustling markets, a sense of ancient tradition. It's like stepping back in time.
Exactly. It's a maze of winding streets, hidden courtyards, ancient structures, a tapestry of cultures and beliefs. You can get lost in the history there, discover hidden treasures.
So it really is a microcosm of Jerusalem. Diversity and history all mixed together. Sounds like a place you could explore forever.
It is. Within the Old City's walls, you'll find sacred sites for Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all right next to each other. It's where different narratives intersect, where history is debated, and where faith and tradition continue to shape people's lives.
I'm thinking of the Western Wall, the Church, the Holy Sepulchre, the Dome of the Rock, iconic landmarks that represent different faiths and different historical narratives. It's incredible that they all exist so close together.
You've got it. Yeah. The Old City, it's where those narratives collide, where history is contested, and where faith continues to shape lives.
It's a reminder that even in a city as ancient and layered as Jerusalem, the present moment is still unfolding. It's constantly evolving, shaped by history, faith, and culture.
Absolutely. Understanding the historical and geographical context of the Old City is key to appreciating its complexity and its beauty. It's not just about seeing the sights, it's about understanding the stories they tell.
I'm ready to dive into those stories, the symbolism of the Old City. What's the best way to unravel all of that?
Let's start with a feature that's both practical and symbolic. The city walls.
The city walls. I'm picturing those massive stone walls that encircle the Old City. They separate the past from the present. What's their significance beyond just defense?
They're much more than just physical barriers. They represent Jerusalem's strength, its ability to withstand sieges, invasions, the test of time. A protective shell. A symbol of its resilience.
I'm starting to see it, those walls. They're like a protective embrace, holding the city's history, its people within them, witnessing so much history, so many stories.
Exactly. They've been rebuilt and reinforced countless times throughout history. Each layer tells a different story. It's like reading a history book written in stone.
So each stone holds a piece of the past, a reminder of the people who came before, their struggles.
You could say that. The walls of Jerusalem, they tell a story of resilience, determination, and that human desire to protect what's sacred. They're about faith, survival, and hope.
It makes you realize that even in a city as old as Jerusalem, there's this constant tension between preserving the past and adapting to the present, isn't there?
That's a great point. Jerusalem's a city where the past is always present, woven into everyday life. It informs the present, shapes the future. It honors its history, but it also embraces the possibilities of now.
It's a reminder, I think, that we're all part of a larger story, a story that connects us to those who came before us, a story that's still being written.
And those connections, you can really feel them in Jerusalem, a city where every stone whispers stories of faith, conflict, and that human search for meaning. It makes you think about your own place in all of it.
I am feeling a sense of awe, I have to say, and a desire to learn more. It's a city that demands your attention, your respect, and your willingness to... well, really engage with its complexities.
And there's always something more to learn. It's a city of endless layers, hidden stories. Let's shift our focus now to a specific site, one that's at the heart of Jerusalem's spiritual significance, the Temple Mount.
The Temple Mount, that name carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? The holiest site in Judaism, revered and contested for centuries.
You're right. It's considered the holiest site in Judaism, the place where the first and second temples stood. A place that really represents the heart of Jewish faith and history.
So a place of immense historical and religious significance, like a physical manifestation of Jewish identity and tradition.
It is. For Jewish people around the world, the Temple Mount represents a connection to their heritage, a place where their ancestors worshiped, where their faith began. It evokes longing and belonging, embodies the continuity of their history and tradition.
It's amazing to think about all those layers of history and faith all embedded in this one location. Like each layer reveals a different chapter in the story of Jerusalem and the Jewish people.
And the Temple Mount's importance goes beyond Judaism, too. Muslims revere it as the site of the noble sanctuary, where the Prophet Muhammad is believed to have ascended to heaven.
So it's a place with deep spiritual meaning for multiple faiths, a place where different narratives come together, creating this tapestry of belief and tradition.
Exactly. And that shared significance has made the Temple Mount a focal point throughout history, sometimes for cooperation, sometimes for conflict. Different faiths and cultures have come together in peace, but it's also a place that has seen conflict and bloodshed.
I can understand how a place that's so sacred to different groups could be a source of tension. It's like a reflection of the larger conflicts that we see in the Middle East, even today.
You're right. It's been a flashpoint for centuries. Its contested history shows the complexities of Jerusalem, a city where different narratives and claims often clash.
It's a reminder that even the most sacred places can get caught up in human disputes, political rivalries, like this constant struggle between the desire for peace and those forces that pull us apart.
Absolutely. And understanding those historical and political dynamics, well, it's essential to appreciating the challenges and the opportunities that exist in Jerusalem today. It's a city that requires sensitivity, understanding, and a willingness to listen to different points of view.
Well, I'm eager to learn more about those events and the ongoing conversations surrounding the Temple Mount. It's a fascinating and complex place.
There's a lot to talk about. From the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans to the construction of the Dome of the Rock in the 7th century, the Temple Mount has seen some pivotal events that have shaped the region, both religiously and politically.
Sounds like we're delving into a part of history that's, well, both captivating and really complicated. It's a story full of twists and turns, reflecting the power of faith and the impact of conflict.
You're right. And as we explore the Temple Mount, we need to do it with sensitivity and a willingness to look at things from different perspectives. It's a place that deserves respect, understanding, and a willingness to listen to those who hold it sacred.
Well, I'm ready to take on that challenge. Where should we start? What are the key moments that have shaped its significance in the world today?
Let's begin with the Western Wall. It's a remnant of the ancient retaining wall that surrounded the Second Temple.
The Western Wall. I've seen pictures of people praying there, placing notes in the cracks between the stones. It seems like a deeply meaningful place, both personally and collectively, for the Jewish people.
You're absolutely right. For Jews all over the world, the Western Wall is the closest they can get to the site of the Holy of Holies, the most sacred space in the ancient temple. It's a place to connect with their history, their faith, their ancestors.
So it's a tangible link to their past, to their faith, a place where they can feel the presence of history, the continuity of tradition.
Exactly. They come to pray, mourn the destruction of the temple, connect with their spiritual heritage. It's a place where the weight of history and the power of faith come together.
It's a powerful reminder that even when faced with loss and destruction, faith and tradition can endure. Like a symbol of resilience, a determination to maintain their connection to their sacred sites.
Absolutely. The Western Wall's presence, it speaks to their resilience. It's a symbol of hope, a reminder that even in the face of adversity, faith can provide strength and comfort.
It's a story of hope and perseverance. Even in the darkest of times, the human spirit can find ways to connect with what's sacred. It's like a testament to the power of faith, the strength of the human spirit.
And you can feel that connection at the Western Wall, the weight of history, the intensity of prayer, the enduring power of faith. It's a place that goes beyond words.
It's an experience that goes beyond words, I agree. It speaks to something deeper, something that connects us all. We're all part of something bigger than ourselves, something that transcends time and place.
Absolutely. And it's just one example of the many layers of meaning that we find in Jerusalem, a city that continues to inspire and challenge people from everywhere. It demands our attention, our respect, and our willingness to engage with its complexities.
Well, I'm feeling a sense of awe and a desire to learn more as we explore this remarkable city. It's a place that defies easy answers, a city that challenges and inspires.
And there's always more to discover. The past and present are so intertwined, and it seems like every corner has a story to tell, a story of faith, conflict, and that search for meaning. It invites us to explore, discover, and connect.
Lead the way. I'm ready to go deeper into the heart of this captivating city. I'm ready to embrace the challenge and the wonder of Jerusalem.
Okay, let's shift gears now and talk about a region that often gets overlooked, but it's essential to understanding the dynamics of the Middle East. The Sinai Peninsula.
The Sinai Peninsula. That brings to mind images of those vast deserts, towering mountains, a sense of ancient mystery. It's like a place frozen in time.
You've got it. It's a land of stark beauty, rugged landscapes, beautiful coastlines, and where ancient history meets modern geopolitics. You can find solitude there, adventure, and a deeper connection to the natural world.
It sounds like a place to escape, to connect with something bigger than yourself, a place where you leave behind the distractions and reconnect with the essentials. The sky, the sand, the wind, and the echoes of history.
It is. The Sinai Peninsula has been a place of pilgrimage for a long time, a place for spiritual renewal, adventure, and a deeper understanding of the natural world. It's a place to challenge yourself, test your resilience, and discover what you're made of.
Like Moses and the Israelites, wandering in the desert for 40 years, searching for the promised land. It's such an epic story. It captures the essence of the Sinai Peninsula, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The Sinai Peninsula is deeply connected to biblical stories, particularly the Exodus, the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and the Israelites' journey. History and faith really come together in a tangible way. You can walk in the footsteps of those ancient prophets.
It's a place where history and faith really come alive. Like you can feel the presence of the divine in the landscape.
Exactly. And that's what makes the Sinai Peninsula so compelling. You can walk in those footsteps, explore landscapes that haven't changed for centuries, and connect with something that's timeless and profound. It challenges us, expands our horizons, and makes us think about what's really important.
It sounds like an incredible journey, a pilgrimage through time and faith, all against this backdrop of incredible beauty. It calls to the adventurer, the spiritual seeker, and the historian, all in one.
It's a journey that continues to inspire and challenge people today. Whether you're drawn to its spiritual significance, its landscapes, or its history, there's something there for everyone. It's a blend of adventure, solitude, and renewal.
I'm feeling that sense of adventure. I want to explore this region. It feels like it's been calling to me, promising discovery, and maybe even transformation.
And there's so much to explore. From the peaks of Mount Sinai to the coral reefs of the Red Sea, the Sinai Peninsula offers such a diverse range of experiences. It's a place where you can push your limits, test your strength, and discover what you're truly capable of.
Okay, I'm ready to go deeper. What makes the Sinai Peninsula so unique? What are the must-see sites? What are the hidden gems?
Let's start with Mount Sinai, a place that holds so much meaning for Jews, Christians, and Muslims.
Mount Sinai. The mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments, right? It's a place that's known all over the world.
Exactly. Tradition says that Mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, is where God revealed himself to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. It's the foundation for both the Jewish and Christian faiths.
Wow. So we're talking about a site that's considered sacred by billions of people. It represents a pivotal moment in history.
It does. For centuries, pilgrims have been coming to Mount Sinai, climbing its slopes, visiting the monastery of St. Catherine, just to connect with this incredible moment in history.
It's amazing how many generations of people have been drawn to this one place, seeking inspiration. It speaks to the power of faith and that desire to connect with something greater than ourselves.
It does. It's about the power of place, how certain locations take on this meaning that lasts for centuries. We're all part of a larger story, a story that stretches back through time and connects us all.
You really are. We're standing on the shoulders of giants, and Mount Sinai is one of those places where you can really feel that connection.
You can definitely feel it there. The weight of history, the power of faith, and that human desire to find meaning and connection. It's a place that goes beyond words.
It's an experience that transcends words, a pilgrimage for the soul, a chance to connect with the essence of who we are.
It is. And it's just one example of all the layers of significance that we find in the Sinai Peninsula. It's a land of contrasts, where you can find solitude and adventure, where ancient history meets modern geopolitics.
Well, I'm feeling a sense of awe, and I want to explore more of the Sinai Peninsula's stories. It feels like it's been calling to me, promising discovery and transformation.
There's a lot waiting to be discovered there. From the ancient Egyptians who mined copper in its mountains to the Bedouin tribes who have lived in its deserts for centuries. The Sinai Peninsula gives us a glimpse into a way of life that's timeless and connected to the land. It's a place where you can learn from the past and gain a deeper understanding of the present.
I'm ready to dive in. Let's explore the heart of this region and uncover its secrets. I'm ready for the challenge and the wonder of the Sinai Peninsula.
All right, let's explore a specific area that's both beautiful and historically important. The Colored Canyon.
The Colored Canyon. That name is so evocative. I'm picturing these vibrant colors, a landscape unlike any other. It's like art and nature coming together.
You're right on the mark. It's a natural wonder, a narrow gorge carved into the sandstone over millions of years by wind and water. It's nature's art, a masterpiece that's beyond human imagination.
So it's a geological masterpiece shaped by the forces of nature. It sounds like a place where you can witness erosion, the passage of time, all of it shaping the earth into something beautiful.
Exactly. The colored canyon is full of shapes and colors. The sandstone layers are exposed, and you see all these hues, deep reds and oranges, yellows and whites. It's like walking through a painter's palette.
A painter's palette brought to life. I bet the play of light and shadow on those colorful walls is amazing.
It is. Walking through the colored canyon, it's surreal. The walls swirl with patterns. The light changes with every turn. It's an experience for all the senses. You can feel the cool rocks, smell the desert air, hear the echoes of your own footsteps.
Sounds incredible. A place where you can lose yourself in the beauty of nature.
It is. It invites you to slow down, to take it all in, to appreciate those subtle details.
It's a reminder that some of the most beautiful places demand respect, a sense of reverence, like a sacred space that deserves to be protected.
And the colored canyon definitely deserves our respect. It's a fragile ecosystem, and it's important to be mindful and leave no trace. We're just guests in this environment.
I'm feeling that sense of wonder now. I would love to experience this place in person. It speaks to the artist, the adventurer, and the spiritual seeker.
You should. The colored canyon shows us the power of nature. It reminds us that the most captivating discoveries are often found off the beaten path.
It does. It reminds us that sometimes we have to step outside our comfort zones and embrace the unknown.
Speaking of which, let's shift our focus to another fascinating aspect of the Sinai Peninsula, the Bedouin people.
The Bedouin. I think of them as nomadic, traveling through the desert with their camels and tents. They represent a way of life that's ancient and resilient.
Exactly. They've lived in the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa for centuries. They have a rich culture and a deep understanding of the desert environment. Their way of life is perfectly suited to the challenges and the beauty of this landscape.
Living in a place like that must require amazing skills and a strong sense of community. They thrive where most people would struggle just to survive.
You're absolutely right. The Bedouin, they've adapted perfectly to the demands of the desert. They're expert navigators, skilled herders, and they know how to manage resources better than anyone. They've learned to work with the desert instead of trying to fight it. They respect the land, they respect its resources, and they've developed these sustainable practices that have allowed them to not just survive, but thrive for generations. They figured out how to live sustainably in one of the harshest places on Earth.
It really is a valuable lesson for all of us, isn't it? We need to figure out how to live in balance with nature, not just exploit it for short-term gain. The Bedouin, they have so much to teach us about sustainability and resilience.
They really do. They're a living example of how it's done. Think about their traditional knowledge, their practices. It's all about sustainable living, resource management. They know the desert's limits, and they live within them. It's wisdom that's been passed down for generations.
I'm really curious to hear more about their traditions, their understanding of the desert. What sets them apart?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. Their social structures, their incredible hospitality, their traditional medicine, how they know so much about the desert's plants and animals. The Bedouin, they have this wealth of wisdom that's, well, fascinating and relevant to us today. They're like a living library of knowledge about how to thrive in a world that's facing, you know, resource scarcity, environmental problems, all of that.
I'm truly impressed by the Bedouin, their ability to not just live, but thrive in such a demanding environment. Human adaptability and resilience are incredible.
They are inspiring, their resilience and adaptability. They remind us that even in the face of incredible challenges, the human spirit can find ways to connect, to build community, to create meaning.
It's a message of hope and resilience that we all have that capacity to adapt, to learn, to thrive. It's like they found a secret to living in harmony with nature, a secret that, well, maybe we can all learn from.
Absolutely. They challenge us to rethink our relationship with nature, how to live sustainably, to remember the importance of community. In a world that's so focused on, you know, me, me, me and stuff, they offer a different perspective, a way of life that's grounded in respect for the earth, for each other, for the interconnectedness of everything.
It's a reminder to get back to our roots, to connect with the wisdom of those who have lived in harmony with nature for centuries. We have so much to learn from cultures that are different from our own, especially those that have figured out how to thrive in places we think of as harsh and unforgiving.
Those lessons are so important now. We're facing climate change, resource depletion, social division. The Bedouin, they offer a model of resilience, adaptability, and community. We're not separate from nature, we're part of it. Our survival depends on finding that harmony with the earth and with each other.
Well, I'm grateful for this journey, for the chance to learn from the Bedouin. It's been a glimpse into a different way of being, a way of life that's based on respect, resilience, and a deep connection to the land. It shows us that even in the most challenging environments, life finds a way. Human ingenuity and spirit can create beauty and community.
Beautifully put. And as we wrap up our deep dive into the geography of the Middle East, remember, this is just a snapshot. There are so many more stories, cultures, landscapes just waiting to be explored. We've only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's made you curious, inspired you to learn more.
It definitely has. This has been an incredible adventure. I'm leaving with a new understanding of how much geography has shaped history, culture, even how we see ourselves. It's been a journey through time and space.
I'm glad to hear it. And the journey doesn't end here. There's always more to explore, always more to learn, more to discover. Keep searching, keep asking questions, and keep looking for those connections that bring us all together.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the geography of the Middle East. We hope you've enjoyed the ride.